Blog Talk Radio.
All things bright and beautiful.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to your place. Tonight we have with us a very special lady, and so pleased to have her with us, Sister Bobbi Lively, Blog Talk Mom. She's going to share with us a report of a church service in Mississippi. At a time where it seems all we hear in the news is hate, fear, death, and placing blame, Sister Bobbi Lively, a.k.a. Blog Talk Mom, a.k.a. Rapid Greeny, is going to share with all of us an outreach service that will encourage all of you to seek the same. We don't know what else she'll share with us, but we don't want to give away any of her secrets or steal her thunder. So hang on or let go as we turn the show over to her. And remember that all you have to do is push 1 on your phone and we'll identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number so you can ask a question or make a comment. And now, Blog Talk Mom. Hello?
Well,
Blog
thank
Talk
you.
Mom?
Thank you. Can you hear me?
I do.
Am I on?
I can.
All right. Sister Starla, and thank you so much for the program tonight and Wild Bill for... He was so receptive when we talked last Sunday night. I don't believe in my 76 years I've ever been any more excited than I was after the service that we had at Jesus' Name Tabernacle. I had already spoke with Sister Casey Johnese, and I knew that she was going to give her testimony and that we were going to have several visitors, but I was in no way prepared for the visitation, the manifested presence of God that came into our church. Our pastor, Pastor Max Smith, is relatively, he stepped in. Sister Holland has been our pastor for over 30 years. And Brother Max Smith has he's young, very passionate about souls. They've opened up. Our church is going to be part of the ACTS program that Sister Casey may want to explain some of that, but there's never anything as exciting in life as a success story. You know, when you, in just the carnality, you, if you're going to show something that makes you healthy, you're going to show a picture of something healthy. Or if you've lost weight, it's a picture of somebody that's lost weight. But when God gives a picture, an example of his saving, delivering, keeping protective power, it is so designed to glorify him. So I want to get out of the way. I'd like to introduce Sister Casey Johnese. Her husband is Brother Jimmy Johnese. She has a beautiful daughter, Sister Lola, and a wonderful niece that Sister Madison, they all are a team working for God. Sister Casey?
Yes, ma'am, Sister Lively.
Well, I tell you, I have bragged and told and told and everywhere I have gone about Sunday night and about your beautiful, wonderful testimony. And so I'm just going to step back and let you just, as God speaks to your heart, share with the listeners. This will go and it can be looked up on the archives and it will have a great outreach, and that's your heart, I know. So Sister Casey, just obey the Lord.
Well, thank you so much, Sister Lively, for asking me to join you guys tonight. And I have just felt like I've been walking on cloud nine this week. We did have a mighty outpouring of the Holy Ghost Sunday night at Jesus' Name Tabernacle. I've been a part of Jesus' Name Tabernacle for 17 years. And our pastor, Brother Max, he sent out a text to several of the ministers a few weeks ago, and he was getting the month of July, the services, letting each one of us know, you know, who he had down to preach that the particular Sunday night service. And when he texted me, he had put me down to minister on July the 24th, and I texted him back, and I said, you know, that is the day before my 17-year Holy Ghost birthday and 17 years that I've been clean and sober. And I said, I think I'm going to just, you know, minister my testimony that night and have a couple of the agencies that I've worked for over the past 17 years bring some of their people there. And so when I text Brother Max that, then he texts back and he said, you know, let's just have a whole service geared toward destroying the bond of addictions, to destroying the yoke of addictions. And we know the scripture says that the anointing destroys the yoke of the wicked one. And so Brother Max was beginning to push for the service and fast and pray. And we had about 60 to 70 guys from a teen challenge, a local teen challenge here called Mercy House. And then we had another ministry group called Our Father's House that came. And Sister Lively did one of her rap songs that just was, I just cannot tell you all how moving, how much God just moved through her during that song. She actually, the Lord gave her a song called Clean Slate. We just called this our Clean Slate service. And we had about, I would say probably between 80 and 90 people that are battling addictions from these different programs that were there. And as Sister Lively said, it seems like from the first song, it was just like God just showered his presence down so strong in the service. It was like a Shekinah glory visitation. When the choir was singing, they just began to come to the altar, you know, and just began to kneel down, just weeping. The power of God was so strong. Excuse me. But I did share my testimony. I want to read a scripture from Hosea that God gave me, and he's talking about, I'm sorry, give me just a second. He tells in Hosea chapter 2, the Lord said, you know, but I will win her back again. I will lead her to the desert and speak tenderly to her there. I will return her vineyards to her and transform the valley of Achor into a gateway, basically a door of hope. And the valley of Achor, you know, research and look it up. It was a valley of trouble. It was a muddy, murky, just a valley of trouble. And I shared about my valley of trouble growing up in extreme poverty. My family had a lot of societal labels. My mother was, you know, like his mistress, and they had six children together. I was the oldest of those six children. There was a tremendous incest in the home, drugs and alcohol from a very early age. Sometimes there was no food to eat, but there was always whiskey to drink, or, you know, there was some type of marijuana to smoke or pill to take, and that was just kind of the way that the home, you know, Satan just had total control of the home. And the abuse really started dragging me down emotionally and mentally, because it got worse and worse. And so at the age of about 14 years old, I started, you know, engaging in heavy drug addiction, and I was expelled from school for, I just had so much rage. I would get into fights with people, and I couldn't stand to see my friends bullied. I fought a lot of bullies in school. And so by the time I made it up to the high school, I was only there for a year, and I was expelled from school. I was handcuffed down in the principal's office and taken out at the age of 16 years old. I was put into jail. I had to go before a youth court judge, and they would all scream and holler at me basically and tell me, you know, what they were going to do to me, and that I better do this and I better do that. And there were some leaders in the school, and, you know, that showed me kindness here and there. But when I was a young girl, we lived over in a real bad part of town, and there was a lady that did a church bus ministry. And she went to the local Baptist church, and she did a church bus ministry. And she would come out every Saturday and see my family. She would bring all the children. She would bring us bubble gum. And she was the first person that I ever heard say the name of Jesus. And she told me that one day Jesus was coming back to get us. And I believed her whenever she told me that. She showed that she cared because she would always, you know, she came every single Saturday. And then on Sunday morning, she was always dressed so beautifully in this beautiful Sunday dress. And she would, you know, she and her husband drove that big church bus down and they would pick all of us kids up. And I went to church there for a while. And then I went to the altar every time that I went. They would have an altar call. And I would go down and I would cry as a little girl. And I would pray to Jesus, you know, to save my soul. And one time I got up behind the pulpit and gave testimony of how I wanted to tell all the kids at school about Jesus, that I've met him and that he was in my heart. And then after that, things got really bad. It just seems like the gates of hell just flooded more into my life. After, as I look back now as a 39-year-old woman, I can see how, you know, there were certain things that happened and how Satan just, he got, you know, the strongholds just, they became stronger, and the inherited curses that were in my family. There was drug addictions on both sides. My mother passed away of a drug overdose at 48 years old. My dad ended up dying, you know, because of all the different medications that he took. She was baptized in Jesus' name, and my dad did receive the Holy Ghost before he died at 75 years old, which was a complete miracle, his salvation experience. But at 22 years old, I tried to commit suicide. I was working in exotic nightclubs. I was selling drugs, doing drugs. I was trying to dig my family out of poverty, and I had a friend tell me that she was working in these exotic nightclubs and how much money she was making. And so I started working in these nightclubs, and, you know, the money, I was just so taken back by the money because, you know, all of our life it was just waiting on the food stamps to hit the food stamp card each month, barely making the light bill, you know, living in these rundown places where sometimes there was not even plumbing, you know, looking at all these kids at school with all these nice clothes and these parents with these nice cars and houses. And in my mind, I thought if my family had a nice house and a nice car, that we could be happy like everybody else appeared to be happy. So at 22 years old, it all came crashing down. I couldn't take the nightlife anymore. I worked in those clubs for almost 5 years, and it took such a toll on me. The drug addictions just got deeper and deeper. Satan just gained more and more ground in my life. I overdosed on drugs probably 7 to 10 times and tried to commit suicide several times. One time when I was a young girl, about 16 years old, at the height of the sexual abuse that was going on, I can remember taking a whole bottle of aspirin. It was like a bottle of 120 aspirin, and just laying there, pale as a ghost, you know, just thinking, I wish I could die. You know, I just wish I could lay here and die. But my dad, his first wife, when she saw that, you know, my dad just was going to continue living the life that he was living, she got in church and got the Holy Ghost, and she got her 9 children in church. And so whenever one of my older half-sisters, which we now we say we're just sisters, we don't even use that terminology any longer, but she started coming around to see my dad when she had her firstborn son. And when she started coming around to see Dad, she was very kind to us. She would, you know, come over and spend time with my dad and take pictures, and she would bring food, and she would invite us to come to church. She would sing. And so I really, you know, kind of took a liking to her, and she began to pray for me. And so I came to visit a couple of times, J&T, with her, and then I overdosed and was in a drunken stupor one night, and she was the first person that I thought about. And so I called out to her, and she brought me up here to Jackson. I was on probation. I had a DUI. I had a lot of legal issues going on. I was about to go to jail. I was just at the bottom of that horrible pit that David makes mention of in the Book of Psalms. And I told my dad when I left, my dad and mom, I said, I'm going to go up here and I'm going to live with these church people and I'm going to get a job. I want to pay all these fines off. You know, I want to try to get my life back on track. But I had no clue the plan that God had and the things that he was placing together. And so I came up here and I stayed with them for a couple of weeks, and my sister played a testimony of Helen Baylor giving her testimony about how God delivered her from cocaine. And I remember just erupting into tears when I heard her talk about God delivering her from that cocaine. And it was like that moment, you know, it was almost like I didn't even realize that I was a drug addict. I didn't even know that I was addicted to these things. I just thought this was my life. This is just who I am. I'm just pathetic. This is just who my family is. I didn't realize that we were lost. I didn't realize that we needed Jesus. I truly had scales on my eyes. My entire family did. And so I heard that testimony, and it hit me that I was a drug addict and that I needed deliverance. And so I went to church with them, and I sat through a few of those powerful services at J&T, and I just couldn't take it any longer. The old-time Holy Ghost conviction got on me one night. My brother-in-law was preaching, and he preached a message titled The Value of the Broken, and he talked about different broken people and broken things in the Bible that God used for his glory and how he could take your broken life and he can use your broken life. And he talked about the alabaster box, how the beautiful scent was not released until the box was broken. And just everything he said that night, it was just like, you know, God was just, you know, when you're in service, sometimes you feel like everything the preacher's saying is right for you. So that night, I began to weep. I felt a godly sorrow. I was broken from all the abuse and the years of drugs that I used to medicate the abuse and the terrible lifestyle of my family. And I went down to that altar that night, and I began to repent of my sins, not in a poor, pitiful, maybe, you know, kind of thing. Maybe there was some of that, but more of, God, I want you to take these cravings away. I want you to take the taste of drugs out of my mouth. I can remember saying these things because I heard Helen Baylor say those things in that testimony. So I began to say, God, I want you to heal me from all this childhood abuse. And that night I just cried and cried and repented a lot that night. I didn't receive the Holy Ghost that night. That week they gave me a little Bible study about being baptized in Jesus' name. So the following Sunday night, I went down in the water in Jesus' name. And when I came up out of the water, I was speaking in tongues. And I literally felt like change just melted off of me that night. I could just feel something that I just never felt. It was greater than anything I'd ever felt. I'd done every drug known to man and been as high as a human being could be, high on drugs, but I never felt what I felt when I came up out of that water. And so I shared this testimony, my testimony with the people that were in our church services past Sunday night, and they all, you know, whenever we gave the altar call, they came down and they began to cry out to God, and I wanted to offer them the door of hope in their valley of trouble, that Jesus is the answer. Jesus referred to himself as the door of hope. And, you know, we know there's one God, and in Hosea, God said, I'm going to give them a door of hope for their valley of trouble. And then we know Jesus said that he is the door, and we know that, you know, Jesus is the door that we can walk into for salvation and for healing and for everything that we need. He is the great I Am. And it was just a beautiful service. So many lives were touched and changed, not by any person except for Jesus Christ and his anointing that came into that sanctuary that night.
Sister Casey, I think you have done an absolute pristine, wonderful, I won't say job, but I mean of presenting this, and you did the same thing. God used you in such a beautiful way Sunday night, and actually there wasn't even an altar call. It was just like they were just coming to the altar and wanting to be baptized, and it was just the door was swung open wide, and I mean they were coming through it. It was just such a holy thing, an anointed thing. You know, when you were speaking a while ago, Sister Casey, about the alabaster box and people that are familiar with that story, you know, there Jesus was. He's surrounded by all of these people, all of these men, all of these disciples, and this woman comes in, and she breaks that alabaster box, and she pours it on Jesus, and she begins to weep. And when they all got upset about it, well, you know, we could have sold that, whatever. And Jesus used the illustration, he that is forgiven, you know, when we're really forgiven for all of these things, we're going to love a different kind of love. When we realize where we've been and where he's brought us from and how much he loved us and how much he watched over us, any one of those times we could have gone into it, slipped into eternity, but the Lord was there and he kept his hand of mercy. And now it flows through you in such a beautiful way, Sister Casey. You are just a channel, a reservoir, just a reservoir of his love and his saving power and his ability to reach through any circumstance and turn people around. And Lord, we just want to call for whoever would be listening to this program tonight or at any time. If
God,
you
in your name,
can relate, we believe with you right now that God will
right now,
right
God,
there
in Jesus' name,
you.
Lord,
Jesus
deliver right
name.
Now.
Bless
in the name
you, God.
Jesus.
Pour out your spirit, dear God.
Yes, God, in Jesus'
thank
name.
You,
in
Lord.
Jesus
thank
name.
You,
thank
Jesus.
You, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
I want to add,
Case?
Sister Lively,
yeah,
wait,
go ahead.
That, you know, of all the, I loved my family, always loved my family, even though all of the, you know, the bad things were going on. After I came to the Lord, I understood, you know, how lost my family was and how Satan had just had so much control. You know, he was the master of the house, and there were so many generational curses, and the sins of the father was resting upon, just like the Word of God says, that they visit, you know, the sins of the father visiting, you know, to the third and fourth generation. And I heard a Bible lesson, Sister Nancy Howell, our youth pastor at that time, taught about generational curses and how the blood of Jesus can destroy those curses. And so many times, you know, we just accept verbal curses and inherited curses. Well, my mom was like that. My dad was like that, you know. So I have to be like that. This is just who I am. And I can remember thinking that. My baby brother that was in the service Sunday night, that God has pulled out of that pit of addiction, and he was actually in the Teen Challenge program for about 17 months, and the discipline that he received there, the structure and the work ethic and different things that they taught him there just helped, you know, mold him, and the experience that he's had at Jesus' Name Tabernacle with being baptized in Jesus' name and receiving the Holy Ghost as a young man, he still went through all of the addictions, but God kept him even, you know, through the bad choices that he made, even after he had prayed in the altar, even after he had been baptized in Jesus' name, you know, he still made bad choices and the drug addictions. I can remember him saying, you know, this is who I am. I'm dad's son, you know, and dad's always did country music and been in the bar rooms. And, you know, Ramsey almost felt like he had to carry that legacy on. And now he's using that gift of playing the guitar and writing those songs and poetry. God is using him to do that work for him. And just to see the way that that I coming into the church and then taking a look at my family, I was devastated and burdened. So, you know, just looking at my family thinking, God, you know, they're so lost, they don't even know it. Like, now I know what's wrong with my family is that we're lost. And it's not, you know, yes, a nice house is nice and a nice car is great, but it wasn't the money that was missing in my family. It was the Lord Jesus Christ that we needed so desperately in our lives. And once I got that revelation, I've just prayed diligently and tried to stand in the gap for them and make up the hedge as the scripture tells us to do. And now after here 17 years, I'm beginning to see those prayers, you know, my brother being delivered and my sister, you know, she's in a place now where she's been sober for 8 months and she's learning the word of God. And there was her daughter there in the service seeking the Holy Ghost Sunday night and being baptized. My niece was baptized Sunday night in Jesus' name. We had 22 souls, the final count, that were baptized in Jesus' name. And we lost count after about 10 or 12 receiving the Holy Ghost. There was just so many. I don't even know how many received the Holy Ghost, but just to know that standing in the gap and praying and waiting on God and being in our weekly services, sometimes when we feel like our prayers are bouncing off the wall and you know, you're hearing all these bad reports about your family or the world or whatever's going on, and then in God's timing, whenever, you know, he knows that best timing, and then you just, boom, it's like it you begin to see the fruition of your prayers. And I could just tell story after story of how God's hand has been on my brothers. They just had near-death experiences of, you know, my brother has had a gun put in his face, and, you know, I felt an urgency to pray for him that day and, you know, just travail, just had a travailing burden come over me in the house and began to pray for my other brother, Bodie, that's in prison right now. And, you know, finally got to talk to him a couple of days after that, only to find out that he was in a drug deal gone bad, and they had him on his hands and knees, and they had a gun pointed to his face. They were about to kill him, and there was a disturbance in the house, and there was a distraction, and somehow my brother was able to get up and just take off running. He was in the middle of nowhere, and he was able to run away from these people that were about to kill him, and that was the hand of God that protected him from his soul. He wasn't ready to meet God. And we can stand in the gap, and we can, you know, being in our weekly services and travailing and praying and being faithful to the house of God, you know, we are saving souls whenever we do that by travailing for them and making up the hedge.
Amen. I really appreciate you saying that, because it matters. God looks for someone that will do that, that will intercede, that will hold on to him and hold on to that person and call out their name and pray and be sensitive to when they're in danger. God knows how to lay it on our heart. If we'll listen,
yes.
Really be sensitive. That Teen Challenge program, back when I first started coming towards the Lord, it was David Wilkerson, Teen Challenge,
yes.
You know, he did the Cross and Switchblade. That was a dynamic change in outreach. And would you want to share some of the outreach ministries that you've been a part of? And
yes, ma'am, sure.
I know.
After, when I received the Holy Ghost, I felt an immediate call to ministry. It didn't happen a year down the road, 2 years down the road. It was almost like when I came up out of the water, I felt like I was called to minister. And thankfully, Sister Holland, she had such an inclination and a wisdom with people that whenever I went to her, and I had not even had the drugs, had put the drugs down for, you know, maybe 3 or 4 weeks. I just don't know too many people maybe that would have taken a chance like she did. But I told her that God was laying, you know, things on my heart to say. And so she gave me some pulpit time. She started having minister suppers, and she would feed all, you know, cook steaks for all of the ministers. She had a junior ministering team and then a senior ministering team. And she would feed us, she would serve us in these dinners, and she would teach us all the things that she knows about the ministry. You know, her dad was a pastor. All of her life, Sister Holland started praying people through to the Holy Ghost when she was like 6 and 7 years old. She was preaching, and the people that worked for her dad would receive the Holy Ghost when she was a little girl preaching to them. So all of her life has been wrapped up in the work, you know, working for God. And so she poured that experience into to her ministers. And, you know, I started to school between what I was learning from Sister Holland and you, Sister Lively, doing the training that you did with us, the Holland School of Ministry, teaching us the different things about, you know, how to correctly, you know, put your sermons together and keeping all the little I's dotted and the T's crossed and staying on track with your message and following the leading of the Lord and being sensitive to the Holy Ghost. And Sister Holland would teach us, you know, you don't have to get up there and preach for an hour and a half, preach people into conviction and out of conviction. Just get up there and preach. And then get out of the way and let the Holy Ghost have his way. Get people praying in the altar. Learn how to be a good altar worker. know how to pray people through to the Holy Ghost. It's very important. And they taught us, you know, all of you, Sister Lively, Sister Nancy, Sister Holland, taught us these things. So I went to school. I did some training through the state for addiction counseling. And I started doing some volunteer work, just taking donation things that I thought. One of the agencies in Jackson that God led me to was the Friendship Connection. I started out just, you know, taking stuffed animals over there for the ladies to give to their children and talking to Miss Terry, the director, and asking her, you know, can I please bring them to church? And I remember the first time that she let me pick them up, it was four ladies that came to church. And I can still remember, I was so excited, Sister Lively, to have those four ladies loaded up, bringing them to church. And all four of them went to the altar that night. After that service, they went back to Friendship Connection. And within a few months, one of those ladies passed away, and she was a backslider from Columbia. She had been raised in the Pentecostal church there, and she ended up, you know, on drugs and stuff, and she was at Friendship Connection. And then right about the time, you know, I'm stepping out wanting to go and fill in the call to do this from God, I'll never forget her. She was the first soul that God gave me in that field, and she prayed through that night, and she left Friendship Connection. She went back home. And it wasn't long after that she passed away. And then the weight of the realization of what the Bible says in the book of Ezekiel about warning people of what is to come, and that if we don't warn them, then their blood will be required on our hands. And God's very plain about that we are to compel them to come in. I mean, that is make it happen. Get out there and make it happen. And we're all called to be a witness. Acts 1 and 8 says that we all have that power to witness. We have the witness living on the inside of us. And all we have to do is just open our mouth and let him out. We let him out, and he's going to do it. We just have to have the courage to step up and just open our mouth and begin to share what God has done for us in whatever capacity we feel like it. It could be something small, something medium-sized, something large, whatever. But I began to just tell everybody in the grocery stores, wherever I was, you know, hey, do you have just a moment? Can I tell you what God did for me? I was a drug addict just 2 months ago. I was in a crack house. I was in crack. I was doing drugs. And I've had this Pentecostal experience. God filled me with the Holy Ghost. I spoke in another language. I just began to share that everywhere. You know, in the book of Revelation, the Bible says that the book of Revelation, that we are made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And that was
Amen.
One of the first scriptures that God gave me, was to share your testimony. Tell somebody what God has done for you. And when we do that, we just get stronger and stronger. And that's how we're made an overcomer. That is the recipe for being an overcomer, the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. There's power in that. And so, Miss
And
Terry,
you literally do that, like if the enemy started trying to pounce on you some way, you just pull over the car and find four people and tell them. Because
yes.
I met people when I came here that they said, oh, you go to that church where Casey goes. Yes, well, you know, they already knew all about your testimony when I first came, everywhere I would go. And it did. It was powerful. It was like this, like God said, we're overcomers by that. And that's how God can move into a set, any setting that there is, and show himself mighty and strong. But I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, that's fine, Mr. Lively. I did learn that there was so many things that started happening in my family. My mother became severely addicted to pain medication, and I'd never seen her smoke a cigarette or drink a beer. She was the one in our family. She was a very modest woman. She never cussed. She did not smoke. She did not drink. She didn't do anything. And then to see her, you know, become so addicted to these medications that the doctors was prescribing to her, it tore my heart out. And I had to do something to, you know, release that depression, because I knew if I didn't, that Satan was just going to keep me bound, and that I would be so focused on what was going on in my life that can be very depressing. So I read a book by Brother Danny Hebert. He came to our church. He's a great soul winner. And he said that every time Satan would come against him, that he would say, okay, five souls, devil. And like his wife was diagnosed with cancer, he just told all these things that happened, and how every time he and his children, they would look at each other and they would hold up their hand and they would have the number five, and that meant five souls, devil. And so they would get right out in the street and start witnessing to people, and they would invite five people to church. And it was like God would just move mightily for them. So that principle was just one that God showed me right away, that, look, it's not about how I'm feeling. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by feeling. You know, just I can't treat people differently because I'm going through some personal things or whatever, you know, have this bad attitude. I've got to push through that and minister to people and invite them to the house of God. So Miss Terry, you know, she took a chance on me. It was a God thing. She opened the door and let me start counseling, become a drug and alcohol counselor at the Friendship Connection in Jackson. I worked there on and off for 10 years. Just what I learned there about counseling. But Miss Terry, she would let me pray with those ladies. She would let me anoint those ladies during that time I was working there. I can't say. We had 30 new women every 3 months, and we would have sometimes 12 receive the Holy Ghost in one service. And I worked there on and off for almost 10 years. So it was just a lot of people, a lot of women that received the Holy Ghost. All of the women that came to Friendship Connection, they came straight from the prison system and the drug court system. And you remember, Sister Lively, how they would come, and sometimes there would be three or four pews of those ladies, and they would just so broken. And, you know, the scripture says that God, he draws nigh to those that are brokenhearted. That's one reason I feel like that we felt the presence of God so strong Sunday night, because there was so many broken people in our service, and God said, I will not reject them. I will draw close to them. And in all the services, when the Friendship ladies used to come, you would feel that presence of God that comes whenever the lost, it's just like that is his heartbeat. And he just kind of begins to just show up and show out. And you feel his mercy and his love. And it's just like all of our trivial problems and things that we face, and sometimes it's not trivial things. Sometimes we're facing some giants. But there's such a joy that comes from stepping out of yourself and ministering to people that knowing, hey, you know, okay, so I may be facing something terrible right now, but if I die, I'm dying in the army of the Lord. But if these people die, you know, they're not ready to meet God, and it just puts things in perspective. I worked at Buried Treasures, another program. It was a Christian discipleship program. I worked there for 5 years as their residential counselor. I worked there and at Friendship Connection together. And worked at another place doing drug and alcohol counseling, precise in Flowood. And I learned a lot of things there about mental illness. So God just put me in these different places to learn a lot of different things. And the experience from being a drug addict and alcoholic and working in nightclubs and that lifestyle. And then God, I had that. And then he put me in these different places to learn from everyone that was working. And then learning from you and Sister Holland and Sister Nancy, and just knowing that God puts all those things into that bowl and he mixes it up, and that's all things work together for the good. All of that, you know, do I think that God, you know, that it was his will for me to suffer as a little child and to go through those things? Absolutely not. I believe that God was just as heartbroken about it as I was. There were grown adults that were making choices. It was free will. God is, he does not, you know, we come to him, we ask him to forgive us. The Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man will hear my voice, I will come into him and I will sup with him. God was knocking so many times, Sister Lively, so many different people that he sent to my dad through those years, different preachers I can remember that would, you know, come and minister, and, you know, it was, but he was rejected. And so because of all of the sinful choices that were being made, there were consequences. And children suffer because of choices that their parents make. And then sometimes it's just because something bad just happened, you know, or you suffer because of a choice that somebody else made. But even through all of that, when I came to the Lord, you know, I said the other night, Sister Lively, I did the stop, drop, and roll. I stopped blaming others. I had to stop playing the victim and using all of the bad things that happened as an excuse and a reason to keep doing drugs and medicating myself. You know, I dropped to my knees in repentance, and I dropped the old people, places, and things. The scripture says, what fellowship does light have with darkness? And, you know, God spoke to me through his word that, you know, not that I thought I was better than people that I used to hang around with, Sister Lively, but that, you know, I needed to be in the family of God and just pray for those that I love. And whenever, you know, I got stronger in my walk with God, then the Lord allowed me to go back to my hometown and preach 3 or 4 revivals there, sometimes worth 30. We had 30 souls in one revival, and in the 6-week revival, around 30 souls that received the Holy Ghost. I had friends that I've known all my life come to those services high on drugs, and they would leave, you know, speaking in tongues, getting baptized in Jesus' name. So we just have to follow God and just know that if he asks us to let go of something, it's for our own good. And whenever the timing is right, if it's his will to let us go back and minister, he'll open that door.
So stop, drop, and roll, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And the roll part, you know, roll with Jesus. Just roll with positive people. Roll, you know, be to the church, you know, don't come into the church thinking, you know, what can they do for me? What, you know, what can they offer me? I've heard people say that sometimes, you know, when you're ministering to people, they want to know, well, what, you know, what can this, you know, what can this ministry do for me? Or, you know, what kind of ministries do you have to do this or that? And when I came into the church, Sister Lively, I had a different type of outlook than that. I said, God, you know, what can I do for this church? It wasn't what can this church do for me. I knew what the church could do for me, Sister Lively. I looked around at the wonderful people and the blessings of God and the anointed services, and they all had, you know, nice, good jobs and nice homes and beautiful families, and, you know, not free from going through hardships and trials, but the joy of the Lord. You know, they didn't have to run to the bar rooms and to the drugs and the alcohol. I saw all these people turning to God and God helping them get through these tough life situations, and that's what I wanted. And I wanted to be a blessing to my pastor. I wanted to be a blessing to Jesus Name Tabernacle. I didn't want them, you know, paying my bills or, you know, steadily being a headache or saying, hey, you know, what can y'all do for me this week? I wanted it to be, you know, what can I do for y'all? Like, what can we do together? Let's get some souls in here. Everybody needs to know about JNT. Let me roll up my sleeves and see how I can get out here in the community and promote my church and get people to the house of God, teach home Bible studies, just whatever, in whatever capacity that it doesn't matter. You know, if it's cleaning the church, if that's your gift, clean it and make it shine. If your gift is doing crafts and building things, build it like nobody else can. Whatever gift God has given each of us, that, you know, to me, that's just one of the beauties of God, is he gives us all. The body of Christ is so uniquely designed, and every member is important, and everything that every person in the body of Christ has to offer is significant. And it all, when it works together, all of JNT came together this past month for this clean slate service. We fasted together. We prayed together. We each used our contacts and the things that, you know, witnessing to people and reaching out together. We had a clean slate prayer meeting. We had one couple that brought 10 towels, 10 brand new towels. They brought those towels to the prayer meeting and said, we are bringing these towels because we're believing that people are going to be baptized in this service. And that one act of stepping out by faith like that, we had 22 baptized. We didn't even have enough towels. The floors were sopping wet. I mean, the baptistry was just dripping. And that was a total surprise to me, Sister Lively, because I didn't even think about, you know, like it never even dawned on me that we could turn it into a baptism service.
Well, I think God gave me some type of vision or something of all those, them just rushing to the baptistry. And from the moment they walked in, it was, the move was on. God was in control. It was, there was not one anything about that service that was not totally ordained, blessed. And, you know, I'd like to mention this, and you can add to it if you'd like. We're not just some odd group of people that have a burden and whatever. If you go to the Word of God and you go to the New Testament, the New Covenant, and you follow the teachings of Christ and how he sent the 120 or whoever would go to the upper room, which was a place that on a Pentecostal, that was their feast day, that on that particular day there was a tremendous changing of the covenant of God, so that the blood is applied, so that we are recipients of God's Spirit indwelling us, not just any church or temple, but inside. And that's in the book of Acts, first, second chapter, the second 2:38, says, if we will come, they wanted to know, when they saw the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God moving, and all of these thousands of people worshiping, what must we do to be saved? And that is the same question throughout this entire world right now. If you want to know what to do to be saved, repent. That means to turn, as Sister Casey said. That doesn't mean just to feel sorry for yourself or what you've done, but turn towards God with all your heart. When you're baptized in the name, by that authority, in Jesus' name, John the Baptist was a forerunner. It's under the water. You're baptized in Jesus' name. Those sins are remitted. They are gone. They are gone. No need to worry about them, talk about them, or think about them. They're gone. And then God comes and indwells us, and we are the temple of God. Now, do you agree with that, Sister Casey?
Yes. And Sister Lively, that you know, there's so much negativity that happens in so many lives. All of us face things, and I learned that just get up, get dressed, get to the house of God, get to prayer meetings, do the things that you can do. If you sit and you think about how tall your mountain is, and, you know, I can remember thinking, you know, I did not see, Sister Lively, how I would ever be able to live my life without drugs. I had lived with drugs. Every day of my life, I did some type of drugs from a very young age. It was just, I mean, it was just the norm. And I can remember thinking, you know, you won't be able to have fun without doing drugs. You know, you won't be able to you know, just have a good time and relax. And, you know, and Sister Lively, is there ever, is there anything more fun than what we had Sunday night in that service?
You know,
no, it was
way.
Fun. It was powerful. But, you know, like when you were rapping and just the power of God, it was just this high that we all felt. You know, it was just so powerful. And that was one of the things that some of the lies that Satan told me and that he tells other people, you know, that this is just who you are. And you're, you know, you've got to have this. You need this. You know, you need to take this. And, He lies to us. He is the father of all lies. But
he
just like my brother Ramsey said Sunday night, that you can be told lies all of your life. If you ever come encounter with the truth, if you ever have an encounter with the truth, you will never be able to get away from it. And when I came to J&T, God just crushed all of those lies that I believed for so long, Sister Lively, that I was worthless, that, you know, this was just who my family was, that we couldn't get out of poverty. And Sister Lively, you know that there's been many miracles that's taken place in my family. There's been lots of heartache, lots of things that have happened. But then the miracles of my dad and his older years coming to the Lord after people had prayed for him for 60 years, you know, to receive salvation and receive the Holy Ghost. And even with my mother being baptized, she was terrified of the water, and she went down into a murky creek, and Brother Kent Grantham baptized her in the name of Jesus. And she said that when she came up out of the water, she felt a load lift off of her. And, you know, Sister Lively, that's how it feels, the remission of sins. You feel that load lift off of you, and just things like that are so precious to me that I thank God for flooding into our life like he did, for having a plan. And, you know, Sister Patty said something to one of the girls at the jail, Sister Lively, at the Rankin County Jail. We go there every other Monday night, and we minister to the felony pod. The women in there are charged with some you know, some pretty tough felonies. And they're just like little kittens when we go in there most of the time. We've had a few groups sometimes, but for the most part, they're so grateful and so thankful that we take our time to come up there. And there was a lady in there that was raised Pentecostal, and whenever we started to pray, I walked, you know, as I was ministering to them my testimony, we started praying and repenting, and I explained to them what true repentance was and how we were going to just start turning our hearts to God in prayer. Well, this lady, she had received the Holy Ghost when she was 12 years old, Sister Lively. And, of course, you know, after that experience that she had at 12 years old, later on down the road, she got out of church. And Sister Patty told her, she said, you know, you think about all of the bad things. The girl was crying in the service. The lady was crying. And Sister Patty said, you think about all of the bad things that have happened. She said, but God right now, when he looks down, she said, he still sees that 12-year-old girl that came to him so broken as a young girl, and that he filled with his spirit. And I thought that was so beautiful, Sister Lively, that's exactly how I felt. You know, I was a young girl. I was at the Baptist church praying and seeking God. God saw that young heart seeking him. And after even all the bad things, all the things that Satan, he tried to destroy and steal and kill, all of those dreams that I had as a young girl and the burden that I had as a young girl. But whenever I came to God at 22 years old, God still saw his little child that had knelt to him so sincerely, and he kept his hand on me, Sister Lively, through all of that tragedy.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Sister Casey, there may be someone that would like to ask you a question. Can you stay on the line a minute?
Yes, ma'am, I can.
Okay, Sister Starla, is there someone that would like to say something or ask a question? They mute themselves sometimes and they don't remember that.
Yes,
they've
I'm
done
sorry.
It.
I was muted. We don't have anybody with their hand up, but we sure have enjoyed your testimony. That was awesome. I so enjoyed that.
Thank
God
you.
God is
thank
an
you.
Awesome God.
Yes, he
and
is. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead. We all talk at one time after we do this, Casey. Forgive us.
No, it's okay. I just wanted to say thank y'all. Thank you very much for allowing me to come on your blog talk and share my testimony. I thank y'all very much.
Well, you are a tremendous blessing and worker in the kingdom of God. And I don't guess the Joy Bells can come on the line. She's the one that got this whole program started several years ago.
Rhonda
Joy. And, but she left her phone as
we have Joy Bell with us. No, she's
all
using,
right.
She's using the house phone. So,
okay.
Joy Bell?
Hey, can't even use a real phone now. I can't get this one off speakerphone, so I hope it's not echoing. But hi, Sister Casey Worker.
Hey, Joy.
I was so excited to hear everything that happened at J&T, and you know I'm a Sister Casey fan, so, and obviously a Lyrical Lively fan, so sounds like really an amazing thing, and it's one of those things Mama and I were talking about that it looks like an overnight success or just an amazing thing, but it's really the culmination of all of that whole path that you were just explaining and the path that Mama's been through. And on the subject of addiction on a much, much lower level, did Mama tell you that I'm not smoking anymore, just weirdly, spontaneously out of the blue?
She told me, Joy. That is so amazing. And because Sister Lively, she shared that with me, Joy, and I incorporated that kind of into my testimony Sunday night, you know, just stop, just quit, just ask God and pray about it, and he can help you. Like, you'll just want to stop. You'll just stop them, you know. That
yeah.
is so wonderful, Joy.
It was so cool because I think a lot of my issue really never was a physical issue. It was a psychological issue.
Right.
And it sort of just like unraveled. I was as surprised as anybody was. It just unraveled. I was like, wow.
And how long has it been now, Joy? That is so awesome.
Oh, not very long. I think it was June 25th.
Yeah, but that's incredible, Joy. That's really incredible.
Yeah, never even a craving. I've been around other people smoking. Kevin came over and he was smoking. He was very surprised. He said, well, I don't want to smoke around you. And my friend Erin was the opposite. She was like, well, just take one of my cigarettes. And I'm like, are you the devil? I mean, I was kidding. But it's just been really, really fascinating and odd. But I thought of all people you would, because that was so sad. I still feel bad that I was a bad reflection on Chantix, because I know Chantix works. It's just that if you really want to smoke, you can smoke through Chantix anyway, and I just wasn't ready to let them go, was I?
Well, I tell you what, sometimes, you know, God, he just, the medications and stuff, you know, people just go on and on about how that stuff works. And it has. I know it's helped people, Joy, but, you know, sometimes God just wants to show us that he can outdo that stuff. He can just, whenever he gets ready and we're ready and it lines up together, then boom, it's done, you know?
Yeah, it really did feel very miraculous. And I strangely wasn't even looking for it. That's the thing. Like, God is so good how he'll just give you a gift you weren't even asking for. You know,
that's,
and there was like a little moment like I could have smoked through that, but who's that stupid? No one. And the more I was thinking about it, like, it was like this little healing in my mind that happened, and then the cigarettes started tasting bad to me, and it was a very strange, wonderful situation. But at any rate, back to this thing that's going on with y'all. Another thing I told Mama is I can see it being a play, because this is just the beginning. You know, like people do the Azusa Street and different plays like that. I'm sure this is just the beginning of something, all the ripples of these lives being touched and all the lives that they're going to touch. Who knows how many ministers are going to come out of that. I'm going to interrupt my own self to also say, it seems like you were called to preach even before you ever got your deliverance, because of what you said. I'd never heard that part about the Baptist church and the people coming and doing visitation and all that.
Right. Sister Holly said that at my wedding, Joy. She said that she feels like that God, whenever I was that little girl at the Baptist church, she feels like that's when God confirmed and called me to preach then. And, of course, after that, you know, you can just pretty much sit back and go ahead and know that, you know, Satan's going to try to come in like a flood. And that's exactly when I go back in my mind to these memories, I can see exactly that's how it happened, Joy. But anyway, I will tell you that the Teen Challenge guys, Brother Dillmore, he called my brother Ramsey, and he said, "What did y'all do to these men last night?" He said that every one of them, Joy, were up at 7 a.m. They were lined up outside of the sanctuary with their Bibles. They were waiting on him for chapel. Usually it's just like pulling teeth to get all these men, you know, to get
right
in there for chapel. And, you know, that's revival. They were all just, they had their Bibles out there, and they were ready to hear the word. And
that's really, really good. It's just
people,
so amazing. And that first love kind of thing. You know, how many of us are up at 7 o'clock anxious and ready to go and want
that's
to
right
be in the world, want to be hungry for the things of the Lord? It's so exciting. Right now my face is just a big, huge smile. My cheeks are hurting. The whole thing's just an amazing, beautiful, wonderful thing. And Mama, I know some of the things Mama has seen before, and she said several times she's never been a part of anything that was as exciting as that was. And it makes me so happy for all those young men that, or however old they are, whatever, those people.
If you would have
that,
seen Joy, just their expressions and just the way that God just, his presence is what is just so, like, I've had, my sister-in-law called me today. She said, "Casey, when are y'all going to the jail? I want to go. Are y'all going back out there to those guys?" You know, like, it was just so, I don't even know the word for it, Joy. It was just mind-blowing.
I love that phrase. I don't remember having heard that before, that Jesus is the door of hope. And you are such a shining example of that, because of, I'm like you. I love exactly how you worded it. It's not that I think that God made you or willed you or wanted you to go through the horrible things that you did. But now that he has redeemed them, it gives you such a ministry that people can know that no matter how broken they are or what they've been through, that doesn't mean that they are not worthy and that God doesn't love them and that God can't turn them around, because you're such a beautiful light. And the same with Mama. Mama's been through a lot of things. And so when people can look at that and see proof that he is the door of hope, that there is actual hope. Here's a person who's been as broken as you were, who has seen same things you have, and God has is using them now as this wonderful instrument of love. To have hope in your heart when you're broken like that has got to be the most exciting thing, because it's so hard to hang on and keep going and keep putting one foot in front of the other if you don't really have any hope.
That's right. And if you, Joy, if you read about the Valley of Achor, I think I'm saying that right, A-C-H-O-R,
mm-hmm.
Just some of the things that I read about it, that valley was, it was kind of like a result of the sin of Achan, you know, back in the Old Testament, and there's a big connection there with that, and it was just a sad, dark, dreary, murky, muddy, just everything that we can think of, all of the adjectives to explain, just gloom and doom and hopelessness.
Yeah.
And for God to say, you know, in the book of Hosea, I'm gonna bring her back. He was talking about Israel, and she's gonna sing to me like she did when she was young. I felt that God gave me that passage for that service, and I'd never read that scripture before. And of course, in my message, I had, you know, typed in there about being a young girl going to the Baptist church and how I would sing and pray and go up there and testify with all those grown men and stuff. And that's exactly what I felt like that God did. He took me back to that place, and he restored the things that were stolen, the innocence and all those different things, the joy and the dreams. And, you know, he renewed my hope and vision and passion that I had when I was a young girl. I was always a dreamy head, star-eyed, you know, dreaming big, you know, dreaming big about life, dreaming big about my family, you know, about us, you know, going to the next level in life and getting out of poverty. And I was never satisfied with where we were. I wanted us to do better. I felt like somehow we could do better, but I just didn't know how we were going to do it, you know?
Right, right.
But anyway, guys, thank y'all so much. I have thoroughly enjoyed this. And
I love you so much. I love you too, Casey.
I think while Bill was wanting to say something, I can't tell on my phone. Sister Starla, was he wanting to comment or say something to Sister Casey?
No, he had a couple questions that he wanted me to ask, I think. Did you get that text?
I did, but I couldn't get the whole thing.
Oh, okay. He said, ask her how, if someone thinks they may have an outreach calling, what they should do.
I guess the first thing that I did was just, I can remember going to the hospital. Every time I would go to the hospital, that's kind of like some of the first things that I did was just started ministering wherever I was at. If it was buying groceries, you know, not overwhelming people and just standing there and going on and on and on and on, but giving them a testimony and a quick testimony of being delivered from drugs and alcohol, and then inviting them to church. And, of course, talking with my pastor and just saying, God, you know, open these doors for me, you know, and show me what I can do. Talking to your local officials about possibly getting a Bible study going on in the jail, you know, learning and knowing who your officials are and working with them. Like August the 27th, J&T Church is going to do a prayer breakfast at the Rankin County Sheriff's Office. I just got in touch with the jail chaplain because we already do jail ministry there, and said, hey, you know, one of our ministers in our church wants to do an outreach where we just come pray over the officers and bring breakfast, and basically just making that list and say, hey, this is what I would like. I would like to do, you know, A, B, and C. And then seeing what do we need to do to make these things happen? And making those phone calls and keeping them short, you know, just saying, hey, you know, we want to be a blessing. We'd like to bring some donuts up to the sheriff's office, or see if you guys have, if we could come minister at the jail and do a Bible study once a month. If jail ministry is what, maybe if they felt an outreach to jail ministry, I've done volunteer work. That's a big thing of getting into places is start with volunteer work. Volunteering a couple hours of your time. Like I said, you know, the first thing was just getting teddy bears, a big box of teddy bears, and taking them over to the drug and alcohol treatment center and saying, hey, I know these women here, they've got to be missing their children. They're all mothers. Most all of them are mothers, and they've been in prison. Christmas time is right around the corner. You know, we wanted to bring this box of toys for them to be able to wrap it up and give their child a Christmas gift. That means a lot to people that have nothing. And you just begin to win them over in little ways like that. Don't make it about you. Make it about them. You know, what can I do here? You know, can I bring over some a lot of these, the treatment centers and stuff, they hurt for things like shampoo, conditioner, little toiletries. A lot of times you can get hotels to donate all that type of stuff, you know, because they can write it off or whatever. But you can take over a big box of shampoo, conditioner, just little things like that. And then once you kind of get your foot in the door and they start to trust you, then you can say, hey, you know, we're having this special service. You know, we're having a fifth Sunday service, and I would just like to see if a few of the ladies or a few of the guys would like to come. And then, you know, it just kind of sparks from there, and then before you know it, it's like it was Sunday night at J&T. It may take time, you know. I've been doing this for 17 years, just kind of plowing away at it, going and working in these different places. I used to go over to the ARC and CARES in Jackson, that is like a DHS type of facility where they have these foster children that get into so much trouble in the foster homes, they get kicked out of the foster homes. And so our group, you know, I would call over there, say, hey, can we bring these kids some pizza? You know, can we get out there on the basketball court and play basketball with them? And then one Christmas, we went over there and we got them all little $20 Walmart cards. You know, it was like maybe 10 kids over there, and they love that. And so then once we got our foot in the door like that, you know, we would go over there 5, 6, 7, 8 times and then say, hey, we're having a special service. Is there any way the kids can come to the service? And so they would bring 2 or 3 van loads of these, you know, children just that have been in DHS custody all of their life. You talk about ripping your heart out. And so one night we had about 10 of them just run to the baptistry, and we baptized all those little foster kids like that. So that's, I hope that is not too long of an answer, but that's just kind of how God has led me through the years of winning people over. You have to win the officials over first, and they have to trust you and not feel like that you're going to come in and try to take over what they're doing. And then
what about
they trust
the ACTS
you,
program?
Now, the ACTS program is something that recently been certified for. It's it is through the United Pentecostal Church. It is Alcohol Chemical Treatment Series, ACTS. You can go to the website lifeinfocus.org, and there's several certifications that you can get. Sometimes the local UPC, there's a liaison, you know, in the district that comes out and trains, and you get certified to get a little badge. You can get the ACT certification. And basically, you get a workbook, and you let your city officials and different ones know, hey, we have the ACT program. Pastor Max and I went to a couple of places last week. We went to the Richland Police Department and told them, hey, we're going to be having outpatient alcohol and drug classes at the church. And you get a group coming. You know, my brother-in-law, Brent, is doing the ACTS program right now, and they probably have 50 to 60 people that are coming to the ACTS class. And what you do is you have the ACTS class about an hour before church starts. Our first class is going to kick off August the 10th on a Wednesday night. We're going to do it on Wednesday night. We're going to have our participants come at 6:15, and the class will run for an hour, and it's going to end at 7:15, and then church starts at 7:30. Now, during the class, it's not a chapel service. It's not a Sunday school class. You have a workbook. You're teaching. and you're using the Bible as a teaching tool, you can ask the participants, would any of y'all like to have a word of prayer before we start this class? And, of course, you know, most of them are going to say, sure, let's pray. And you have a little, you know, a couple of boxes of donuts and make them some good coffee. But with the Acts class in your community, if you get it started at your church, basically, like in the morning, Pastor Max and Sister Robin and myself are going to meet with Judge Redfern, and we're going to let Judge Redfern know, Judge Redfern, we have this program going on at our church. So for all the people that come before him in court that have these little misdemeanor drug charges, and there's just no room in the jails anymore, you know, this is a time for the church to build this bridge between the church and law enforcement and the community. We all watch the news and we see all these horrible happenings among law enforcement and in the community, and God can use us as a beacon of hope. We can be a bridge. And so that's why, you know, we're just so excited about getting the ACTS program going. You can be certified to teach anger management classes, parenting classes. When you get the parenting certification, you can work with DHS. These broken families that are coming into DHS, DHS's goal is to try to get these families back together. They send them out into the community for parenting classes. Well, you can have that parenting class at your church. And so the UPC church has won lots and lots of souls through this ACTS program. So that's something that you can do locally. You know, you just have to get out there, get your material together, let them know that you're doing it, and just take a leap of faith and start that class.
That's wonderful. That is really wonderful. Well, is Sister Joy Bells or Sister Starla, anything else y'all want to say as we wind up?
Well, we did have Wild Bill. I think I missed the opportunity to let him talk. Hang on a second. Anyway, I guess he's not where he can talk, but we sure have enjoyed this, Casey. It is
well, thank you so much. Thank you.
So awesome that
I've enjoyed it.
You've shared
everything was excellent. It just I appreciate it so much. While Bill's
anytime,
trying to say
Sister Lively. Yeah, I can wait for him.
He's working, and sometimes wherever he is, he can't get a signal or isn't able to get through. But sometimes he can hear it more than he can actually say anything. Sister Starla,
one thing to add to Sister Lively is if you guys wanted to go with the ACTS program, that's probably the best. One of the best ways to go, because you know you can have that outreach right directly from your church. Just become familiar with all of your local food banks, and you know, kind of have your plan, because you're going to have people coming into the church that they're going to maybe need assistance on their light bill, or they may need a food box, you know, here and there, and becoming familiar with all those different places that offer that type of help, that just gives you a plan of action to be able to say, hey, well, you know, you can go right down here to this resource center, and they can help you here and with this, you know.
I think that is so profound. You know, maybe that's not the correct word. But sometimes we want to, you know, I think the Bible says, you know, be you warmed and filled, but we don't get involved. You know, these people are hurting. They're going through things. We must get involved, be willing to get involved.
Right.
And so that program gives us a tremendous structure. And like
yes.
you mentioned, there's food banks, and, you know, you do that, don't you? You get them in touch with.
Right. Well, you know, you learn, and just like, you know, Sister Lively, it can be so overwhelming whenever you do get involved, because there's so many needs, and it's hard to just focus on, you know, they need the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name, and you're sitting there looking, and, you know, their toes are poking through their shoes, and their kids are hungry, and they just got laid off their job because he's a felon and he can't get it. So all of those needs can become very overwhelming, and you can become discouraged because you don't know how to handle all that. And unless you just, you know, have lots and lots of money that you can just help people like that. So becoming connected to your community and knowing what resources are out there, it's just vital to being successful in outreach and working with them and not overwhelming them, but being a blessing and, you know, sometimes taking a step back and letting them lead and seeing what they're willing to do. And God will honor it. And he's led me to these different places through the years to learn and glean from all of them. And, you know, just to be humble to leaders that are out there in these treatment centers and not have a takeover type of attitude, like, you know, well, bless God, you know, this is the way it's got to be. You just stay humble and learn from them and be a blessing to them. That's one of the big things that Brother Robbins, when he came to do the ACT certification, he was just, you know, real adamant about teaching us the importance of, and I've seen that through the years. I know you have too, Sister Lively, you know, of just being that bridge, you know, and now to be able to have that structure that you can do right at your church, I just think that is such a blessing. I'm so excited about it.
It's beautiful, and everybody shares the load, and we
yes.
share the burden, I guess you call it a burden, but as far as before this service Sunday night, there was fasting, prayer, agreement, unity, you know, all of
yes.
the things that is necessary for God to be able to be glorified, and that was just wonderful. You have done a tremendous job. Thank you, Sister Starley. You take it from here, and I love y'all.
Well,
love you.
Well, Bill asked if she would close with prayer for people who have talents and skills like a music ministry that hasn't really found their place but are hungry for outreach. He's not going to be able to join us.
Just Casey, can you do that? Just close in prayer and call. Go ahead.
Okay, just close in prayer, and he wanted me to pray specifically for those that are hungry for outreach, right?
Right.
And
yes.
Be able to find their place. Yes, absolutely. Let's just pray right now. Mighty God, we come before you tonight, Lord, and just thank you. Thank you for this broadcast, Lord, and thank you for the encouragement that I feel. God, I just want to thank you tonight, Lord, for redeeming us from the hand of the enemy, Lord God, and for giving us a desire to serve you, Lord, and to reach the lost, God. And tonight, Lord, I just want to say a special prayer for those that are hungry for outreach, Lord, that want to find their place and want to be used by you, God, and to be able to win souls, to win the lost. Lord, I pray that you would speak to them and show them the way, God. Just open the doors of opportunity, God, to be able to be a witness, to be able to become connected to their local officials. God, whatever you would will for those that may be listening right now, God, that are hungry to see souls saved, Lord, I pray that you would fill that desire, God. And I thank you, Lord, for Sister Lively and for her family. Lord, thank you for taking that desire away from Joy to smoke. Lord, that is such a wonderful miracle. Thank you for Wild Bill and for Miss Starlet. Lord, I just ask that you begin to open those doors, God, of outreach and help us to just keep our hand on the plow, Lord, and to plant that seed. And your word says, Lord, for us to not to be weary in well-doing, Lord, that we will reap what we sow if we faint not. And, God, I thank you that a few times, Lord, I felt like I was about to faint. And you gave me strength, Lord, to keep plowing. And we're seeing fruition, God, now of seeds that have been planted. And, God, I just pray that anyone that's listening, God, that has these desires, Lord, that you would just begin to open that door and show them where and what you want them to do, God. And I just pray in your holy and powerful and all-consuming name, Lord, we are so careful to give you all the glory, Lord, and all the praise and all of the honor, Lord. And, Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray.
Yes.
And we love you, Jesus. We love you, God.
Yes.
We love you.
Yes.
And thank you for your mercy and your grace, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful.
Amen. All right. Well, Sister Lively, if I can be of any more help to Wild Bill in his area or whatever, he and his wife, if they need any more ideas or if I can connect them to anybody, just let me know. I'll be glad to help in any way I can.
And you can lead anyone to the archives. This whole program will be there. And
okay,
share it with your family. Okay. Sister Star.
Right.
We sure did enjoy you, Sister Casey, and Blog Talk Mom. That was a wonderful, wonderful show, and that must have been an awesome experience. And we do appreciate it. We want to thank everybody for listening, and Wolf, we so love you. And Joy Bells, God did such a mighty work for you, and we do love and appreciate you so much. And
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you all so much.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye bye. Well, we thank you all for listening this week, and we'll see you back here next week at your place. Good night.